Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
What response or what pain does an incident like this stir up in the Black community when they see a video like this?
The unfortunate reality is that these incidents and things like this bring up the all too familiar feelings of anxiety, of frustration, of hurt, of fear, this cycle that we continue to go through and revisit, and speaks to, as a nation, how much progress have we actually made. So kind of stirs up over 400 years of anger, to be honest, as the list continues to grow from George Floyd to Breonna Taylor or Philando Castillo or the continued list of others that end up being connected to four little girls in Birmingham or Emmett Till. So it's just this cycle of, I think it was James Baldwin who said to be Black and conscious in America is to be in a constant state of rage.
So oftentimes, race can be a tricky issue. And it can be an uncomfortable one, too, but one that's necessary for us to really press in. So for those Christians out there that are listening, especially within the white community, how can they respond to show love and support for their fellow believers of color?
One of the interesting aspects about Christianity, and I am a lover of the church, the body of Christ in general, even though the church is flawed and we get things wrong at times, I am a lover of the church, and one of the unfortunate realities is the continued separation within the church. And so I think the white Christian church has leaned in on the fact that because talking about race is so uncomfortable, unfortunately, I believe they've been a little bit too silent in the face of systematic racism. So I think one of the conversations that they must have, one is to have the conversation, and two is to develop action plans to address the systemic racism. But it's interesting that I found, just in looking at the history of the church in America, we kind of use scripture to justify the enslavement of Africans, to clergy discouraging Dr. King and his work that causes him to write the letter to the Birmingham jail, and the idea that private solidarity will be enough. I am thankful for every note from just the clergy community in which I serve that talks about support, to which now I'm writing, responding back, well, what conversation, what sermonically are you doing? How is your congregation addressing the idea of race and racism as opposed to the private support that you'll send to me? So I think the conversation is vitally important. I think a book that every Christian should read by Howard Thurman, Jesus and the Disinherited, talks about it can't be denied that too often the weight of the Christian movement has been on the side of the strong and the powerful and against the weak and the oppressed, despite the gospel being clearly on the side of the oppressed. So it is important, I believe, for white churches, white communities of faith to really begin to both speak to the racism, but then also call out the white supremacist tendencies that can fall within their congregations. Because I think many folks who would label themselves as white supremacists also label themselves as Christians. So it falls along the line of Bull Connor, who's a deacon at his church and also orders fire hoses and dogs on people of color. So it is rooting out all of those things.
One of the best things, if not the best thing that we can do, is pray as a nation, but also as a church community. What would you say we should be praying for specifically in instances like these that involve race?
Yeah, I've been praying for peace. I've been praying for justice, and I've been praying for the awakening within the church to regain our prophetic voice. This idea of being able to speak truth to power, as well as a coming together in a way that is really authentic, that really bears out the love of Christ within and across both denominational but also racial lines, right? To echo the words of Christ, that the world will know you by the way that you love one another. And being that living embodiment of what reconciliation truly looks like. And then also to remember that we pray for and also pursue what we've been praying for. To pray for peace, but then also to ask God through the Holy Spirit to direct me to be an agent of that peace. How do I bring peace into the circles and the interactions that I have as an individual? So praying for peace and then also and praying for justice and also figuring out how can I be what I'm asking God to do in the body of Christ?
Unfortunately, there are some bad cops out there they put a bad image on the rest of the cops. Much the same, there's unfortunately some that want to riot or maybe that are infiltrating these peaceful protests that are rioting and then putting a bad image on the rest of these people that are just trying to get their voices heard. So how can we bring those two sides together, not lose focus from the background noise, so to speak, and really key in on the issue?
That is a great question and amazing point. One of the things that I think is necessary to remember is Dr. King talks about rioting being the voice of the unheard and figuring out how we can be heard. But if we could parse out the two questions, one, I think we have to provide the same benefit of the doubt with police and with protester. I think few would argue that there are more bad police than good police. And so I think we have to then provide the same level of benefit of the doubt for protesters. And I think one of the challenges is what we tend to highlight. It is easier to highlight the looting. It is easier to highlight, perhaps for whatever reason, depending on what media chooses to highlight, but also to recognize that part of this is just in the fabric of America. When we think about something like the Boston Tea Party, no one would conclude in retrospect, we would never call that a riot, even though it destroyed, according to some estimates, $1.7 million worth of damage to the East India Company. Those individuals are considered patriots. That is not me letting go or providing cover for those who would do damage, but I think in retrospect, we'll be able to see things differently depending on the progress that we make. And by no means do we ever justify violence or anything. So I think that it is hard for us to, as society, put our hands on how we need to go about bridging those gaps, having those tough conversations and reinstituting a community policing was one of the things that this time highlights and perpetuates kind of a distrust between communities of color or underserved communities and the police force.